We're going to be in the 15th chapter, and I need like to have a reader.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you were able to number them. And he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. He said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them off. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Cabanites, and the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites.
Any questions? Okay, Anne had something first.
Do we ever find out why the birds weren't?
I'm sorry, what?
Why the birds were not?
Okay, there is I have an explanation. I can't necessarily guarantee I understand it, but I will tell you what. There are two different ones called a turtle dove, and that was called a pigeon. Two different, the same family.
It's surprising to me that in verse 12, that he says a great horror and darkness fell upon him.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, I don't know, that he was dreaming a dream or something, rather the horror of seeing God, I guess.
No,
you'll go over
it. It's horror what he saw, and that's what you have to watch out and see. Next, Sean.
Big on the number three, and I just noticed in verse 9. So on
three. Yeah. We'll talk about the fourth generation a little bit later. I don't know if I could cover it today, but it's not the fourth generation from Abram. It's the fourth generation from Jacob's. Jacob's, because the lamb was not yet given to him. We'll talk about that a little later. Okay, I probably don't want to do this, but sometimes I do. I sometimes step on people's toes, not purposely, but because I read what is written, and I cover it very extensively. And I might do that today, but there's a reason I need very much for this to be done. Let's take the very first verse. Okay, this is the King James. After these things, what that really is speaking in Hebrew, the devarim words, after certain words were said, that's what that really means. That is to say, after Abram's words with the king of Sodom, this came. Previous chapter, issue with him, but he also said one more thing. I lift my hand to God. After he said those things, I'll try to find out, okay, scholars are not quite sure. It's not logical that Abram would have traveled all the way back down to Sodom and Gomorrah. He would have stopped where he was living, which was near, remember that mountain we talked about last Sabbath that he went on top of and had built an altar? More than likely he went to that area or Hebron itself, where that's where his home area was. And it's a good chance this particular time is when Melchizedek talked with him and did his function. But these words are very fascinating. And it says, and the words of Devar Elohim, or Yahuwah, came to Abram in a vision. That's strange. Now stop and think about this for a moment. Literally, it says, okay, that the word of God came to Abram in a vision. Now, why would he use the word vision? Why didn't the word of God just come and speak to Abram straight? Why in a vision? Why was God doing it? Do you have any idea? Okay, what is a vision in the interpretation that people have? What does vision mean? When someone has a vision. Prophecy, okay. What else? What does the word vision mean? What?
Insight.
Something what? Something being, you see something. All right, what did Abraham see? He saw the word of the Lord. How do you see the word of the Lord? Well, it doesn't mean physically seeing with your eyes. It means he saw inside what God was saying to him. He spoke very clearly to Abram. And Abram had something happened to him in this conversation when he had. But he also said, do not be afraid, Abram. For I am your Mogan. Here, Mogan David. Mogan, the shield of David. It's actually shield of Abraham first. So what is the shield? Yahuwah, the creator of heaven and earth. He is the shield. Nothing else is. What does a shield look like? What does a shield look like? Like a person? Okay. Sorry. Flat. Okay. Shield. This is a good question, right? What on earth is a shield? Here he says, I am your shield. What did God show Abram what the shield was?
I'm not sure that's what it means here, but what I was going to say is a shield really is a protector.
A protector. How is he being protected by? Is he being protected by some kind of armor? He'd be protected by what?
The Word.
The Word itself is the shield. When you yourself are within God, you yourself, He is your shield. You don't have to have any added protection. He is, I am your shield. And how many of you believe as Abraham believed, and you believe God? If you do, you are the sons of God. You are sons of Abraham. So your shield, your mogen, is Devarim Elohim. You understand what I'm saying? He is protected by the very word. Whatever comes out of the mouth. And now we're going to keep on going in the 15th chapter. See this? Yes.
This says here that a shield will be a shield to his people to secure them from all evils, a shield ready to them, a shield round about them should silence all perplexing, tormenting evils, fears.
Okay. What happened prior to this to prove a shield was there by his word? The 14th chapter? The battle defeated five kings of great power, great power. A one man with 300 some odd went and killed the kings that were at war against Sodom and Gomorrah. No, that God wanted him to kill them, and he did. That's like facing your enemy who is huge in comparison to you. Remember, Abraham only had three friends, himself and two others. He only had two friends there. We don't know about their battle. The Bible doesn't talk us about their battle because God doesn't want us to care about it because that's the issue. The issue that here, and what did Melchizedek says, he has delivered, the Most High God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Oh, by his power, the shield protected Abram. And Abram was able to battle. But now he says, Abram, I am your shield. And I am your reward. Have you ever taken that on your own world, your own life, your own living? Do you ever look and say that you have a shield around about you? You need to have that shield around you. And that shield is Devarim Elohim. The words of God. When you have those around about you, you have one more thing. You also have a great reward. And we think of great reward as what? Money, wealth, power, institution, you know, big name, powerful name, you know, rule the world kind of power. No, a reward. God is a blessing. Since he's your shield, he's also your blessing. God becomes a blessing to you. God became a blessing to Abram. And he spoke to him in a vision for Abraham to see something or to understand something. But he also said, fear not. That's an odd statement. He was showing him, his word was being seen in vision or in eyesight that Abram be able to see what the words were. Not physical words, that his word was going to carry out and protect him. Yes?
I just had a comment about what I've seen in Scripture where the Lord appears to a certain person. It always seems like they say, fear not, or they fell at his face as a dead man or whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So it seems to be the same thing here, fear not.
Now, I know a lot of people believe that God shows them a vision. Be careful. Here's why I might be stepping on somebody's toes. Okay? Who showed the vision to Abram? Did Abram get it correct? Did he lose a point? Did he say, well, I don't know. Maybe say, may I have this vision, but I'm not quite sure what it means. Did he know what it meant? Oh, yeah, so much so that we see later on in Scripture, he was terrified and frightened. Now, that's a big name, isn't it? When God went down and talked to some of the prophets, which one of the prophets can you think of, including Moses, said, oh, thank you for coming, I'm going to know what you have to say. They were what? Terrified, frightened, and scared. So I'm saying to you, if I hope somebody told, but somebody says, I had a vision. Oh, really? Were you scared? Were you frightened? Were you frightened to death? Were you on your knees? Were you crying out, God, help me, protect me, I'm afraid? Hey, God says, don't be afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of me. You understand what I'm saying so far? So if I step on someone's toes, I'm sorry. But let's give you a few things here. Okay? I'm just one of these people who... This guy in Numbers, 24th chapter of Numbers. We won't get there today. But he said something very interesting. He says, and he looked up, and this parable, and said, Balaam, the son of Peor, has said, and the man whose eyes have opened said, hear the word of Elohim. I saw the vision of Almighty falling down, but having his eyes open. Even the prophet. Oh, this is Numbers, verse 3 and 4. 24th chapter of Numbers. Even this prophet, remember the first two times, we haven't gone through that thing. He went three times, remember? First time, second time, third time, then God talked with him. And what happened to this prophet? He was terrified. He fell down, collapsed. Now, so we start talking about you had a vision, you gotta be careful. You may have dreams or something like that, but be careful. Yes.
Okay, I would like you to kind of elaborate on a distinction between the fear of the Lord and how that is. Was that what you were saying, that you might be stepping on toes, that you were saying not to be afraid? And how to be afraid? How to be afraid of, how to have fear of the Lord and yet know he's always there caring and loving us.
Even a false prophet had to fear of the Lord. That's as plain as simple as that. Now, I know it sounds strange. We shouldn't have to have fear of the Lord. But when you have a vision that comes from God over and over again in Scripture, we don't have to go through everything. You can go to Ezekiel 13th chapter. Fear of the Lord. He trembled and scared to death. And what happened here in Isaiah? The Proverbs. The vision is frightening. Yes.
Well, even in the New Testament, it's recorded that John's father, Zacharias, when the angel came to him, the first thing the angel had to say, do not be afraid. And I think the same thing happened to Miriam herself when she was visited. Yeah. You know, he had to tell her the same thing. Do not be afraid. You know, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. She was perplexed. So, you know, and then he has to go on to say to her, do not be afraid, for you found favor there with the Lord. So everyone, it seems, who's recorded as having had some kind of conversation with either the Lord himself or with Gabriel or another angel representing him, the first thing that has to come out of their mouth is, do not fear, otherwise they faint in fright.
Right.
And so that is just a consistent pattern. And what? So, yeah. In other words, if you do see a vision, I don't think that people should say to you, oh, don't feel bad, or I don't think human beings should feel that they're doing something wrong to be afraid, because God tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You should have a little fear if God gives you a vision. It would probably be unusual if you didn't, it would seem to me. Right?
What I'm trying to get at is this. When the Bible speaks of vision in the Tanakh, it always refers to what God is showing somebody something. And it is always, every one of the prophets had visions. The only one that didn't have a vision was whom? Moses. Remember? I don't talk to him in visions. Everybody before him, he did, including Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right? Including Noah. Including everyone of the old. He says, but Moses? No. I speak to everybody on parables. Confuses them. They don't know what I'm talking about. Not with Moses. Right? So when we start listening, we start paying attention. And Ezekiel, did you have a statement? You had a question?
Well, I was just, you know, I was kind of in agreement with Tammy a little bit on the fear of God. You know, dealing with my girls and talking about God and making sure that they make good decisions. God's somebody that could poof, you into thin air if you did something that was on his bad side. You know, I mean, truthfully speaking, that really he really has that much power. And to me, you know, in any relationship that I have with any person, there is a certain type of fear that I would do something or say something that would break relationship with them. And as long as I keep that fear at the forefront, then it helps me to make decisions that will keep relationship with those people.
Right.
And for God, he requires certain things, and we need to make decisions that will keep our relationship good with him.
I want to make another point before we go on here. We're still in the first chapter, first verse. And the 12th chapter of Ezekiel, you don't have to go through and read the whole thing. It's quite lengthy. But it's toward the house of Israel. And Ezekiel was given a vision. And in chapter 12, verse 26, again, the word of the Lord, the word of Yahuwah came to me saying, Son of man, look at the house of Israel is saying. Look at what the house of Israel is saying. Put yourself presently in your life right now. Not back then. The vision is what the people are saying now. The vision that God said he was going to do, that is his word, is going to be carried out, or saying that we see, he sees, excuse me, the vision that he sees is for many days from now, and he prophesies for a time far off. Therefore, Ezekiel, say to them this. Thus says Yahuwah Elohim, none of my words will be postponed anymore. But the word which I spoke will be done. Says Yahuwah Elohim. You read the 12th first chapter, the first part of the chapter, it's not good news for Israel. It's really bad news for Israel. The wealth of Israel is destroyed. The economy of Israel is destroyed. The power of Israel destroyed. We say, oh yeah, of course that happened. You know, wait a minute. Ezekiel. Now, he's talking to the house of Israel, and the northern tribe already was destroyed. The northern tribe already was dismantled. The northern tribe already had no power, no wealth, no prestige, no nothing. Now, here, Ezekiel, in the house of Judah, or in the house of the kingdom of Judah, now he is in Babylon. Who's God talking to? Is God talking to Israel that's already dispersed out in Dispersia, scattered all over the place? Their power is already gone. Their wealth is already gone. Their influence is gone. Their homes are gone. They're in abject slavery, in a sense. Or is he talking about something far in the future? Okay. You know, we in the United States of America, and even the world as a whole, we hear the word of the Lord. So, yeah, but it's, you know, way up in the future. What's more important right now is I need to buy and sell. I need to have a business. I need to find a job. I need to get food. I need to get clothing. I need to get shelter. I need to get prosperity here. I got to get education. Really? He says, my word will come about. In a vision that was told. So when we look at visions, we have to look at it. The Bible is filled with it all over the place. I can't go through every one of them. Let's take a look at, he says, I am your shield. We talked a little about that. And she already mentioned this one is to defend or to cover or to surround with. Completely surrounded with. The word of God. Completely surrounded with the word of God. All right? Now Abram said, O Lord, Elohim, or Yahuwah, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? He had a legitimate issue, didn't he? What was his issue? What was his point? He had no heir. And if he died, who gets the promise? Eleazar. Eleazar gets the promise. Because he's the next heir. How's he next heir? Because he's a property of, as owned by Abram. Abram owns him. Look. You have given me no offspring. And the word came back and says, no. He is not going to inherit anything that I promised you. He's not in the picture. You are. And one from your loins is going to be there. Right? What do you think went through Abram's mind? Well, he had to bring him out. Still there was something inside. Okay, I need some evidence here, right? What do I mean? You need evidence? Yeah, I need evidence. Walked him outside. I said, I want you to look upside. Look up. And of course, we know the number, all the stars in heaven. Can you count them? Well, no. You don't have a lifetime counting them things. Even the ones you physically see with your eyes. He probably had good eyesight in those days, unlike me. And the words which hammered back, okay, Abram, do not be afraid. I am your shield. I am your great reward. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield, and thy reward shall be exceedingly great. The reward is his word. The reward is his word. God's going to carry out his word. And it's going to be great. It's going to be massive. It's going to be overwhelming. It's going to be huge. That's what Abraham gets paid. Abraham got paid, in a sense, that's what the word stands for, payment. This is. I'm going to pay you. I'm going to pay you this much, Abram. I'm going to pay you my word. That's it. What was Abram's response? And he believed. And Elohim, of course, counted it to him for righteousness. And we'll talk about righteousness a little bit later, but not today. Sometime in the future. But he turned around verse 8, and says, yeah, but how shall I know that I will inherit it? Now, wait a minute. You believed him, didn't you? That was counted righteous. All of a sudden, he's got doubt in his mind. Or it seems he has doubt in his mind. Sometimes a question is not really a question, but a statement. So we're looking at this thing, and he says, okay, since I believe what you're saying, I need to have something that I can count on besides the stars. What do you think he was asking? What's the next verse? A what? A covenant. Abram was asking for a covenant. God didn't say, I'm going to make a covenant with you. Abraham asked for it when he said, I need evidence. Okay, I'll make a deal with you. Now we say, what? That's a weird deal. It's a weird one. What do I have to do? Well, shoot, I have to, bring me three, give me a 3-year-old heifer, not a 1-year-old, 2-year-old, but 3-year-old, and a 3-year-old female goat, and 3-year-old ram, plus a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Turtle dove, by the way, is a baby pigeon. Okay? The young pigeon is the mother pigeon. So you have, you've taken the pigeon, and it's a little one, and brought it. The turtle dove means a young one, a baby one, like it's just been born. Yes.
You know, I've never seen that before, but if somebody comes to you and they say, even if you want to tell me, okay, do something, and I'm thinking, okay, I really want this in writing or a contract or something so that I for sure get this right, that is a normal thing to ask.
It's a normal thing to ask, you're right.
It is. Otherwise, for one thing, if somebody tells me something, I'm going to forget what they said. And if I have it on contract, I can sit down and reread exactly what deal did I make. Never thought of that.
And there's nothing to write down here. It was, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you. Now, remember, a vision is something that God is going to address or reveal to one person or a very small number of people. Mostly to one person, a prophet. Now, we know what it says there in Acts, that and in Book of Joel, your young men will see dreams and have visions. Now, we think that's wonderful. No problem with that, right? But what did they see? When they saw a vision, did they see hope, glory, and that? No, they saw danger. They saw danger. They saw, Paul, you're going to be killed. They saw a vision. Paul, you're going to be killed. That's what they saw. Paul, you're going to be glorified. No, they didn't see that. You're going to be killed, Paul. Of course, Paul maneuvered and figured out how to get out of that one, but that's beside the point. But you start thinking about that. Now, dreams. I will talk about that, but I'll go in extents to that during the time when we get into about Joseph and about his father when it comes to dreams. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Do not be afraid, you who believe God, for God is your shield. Yeah. Do you think there's going to be bad things going to come? Do you think worse things are going to come? When you read the 12th chapter of Ezekiel, yeah, bad things are going to come. There's also a promise in there that those who trust God, those who believe God, He will be their shield. And He will be the reward. What more do you want to live by? You want your reward to be... I don't want to be cynical here, but I am going to be. You want your reward to be... The word of the President of the United States? Would you like that word to be the Senator of California? Would you like to have their word being the governor of California? How about, would you like to have your word being the one? Well, that's unfaithful, isn't it? You don't want to trust any of them, do you? You can't trust your own word. How can you trust everybody else's word? But with God, don't have to be afraid. I am your shield. And so he cut them apart, cut them in half, cut them in two, except for the birds. And the vultures came down and did something. They tried to. Try to eat whatever was there. We'll get to the vulture, yes. I'm sorry, what?
The significance of the three times here?
Okay. Why a third year? Why not a... See, what... Okay, let's put it. When... This was not an offering. Offerings would be done upon a altar. This was done upon a ground. How old must the young lamb be or to be able to offer it up? At least 1 year old, not three. Now we're coming into 3 year old. Why three? Why would three be an important number of year? Make sure that they're that old. And guess what? They're females, not males. That means what? Yes?
A three-year-old ram. That's a male.
See what I have. He says, I want a three-year-old female goat. I want a three-year-old heifer. And I want a three-year-old ram. That's correct. Of course, we know what ram represents, right? What? Do you think that the three-year-old heifer ever had cows? Do you ever think that a three-year-old goat ever had a young goat? So what is the point? Why the turtle doves? One's a turtle dove and there was a pigeon. Yes?
Well, it covers everything because you've got a heifer that hasn't had a cow. A female goat that may have, a ram that would have, a turtle dove and a young pigeon are two more. Maybe it just covers everybody.
How would, does that relate anywhere to the Messiah?
Three and three.
How do they relate to the Messiah?
Three days and three nights.
Okay. Three is going to be one or two things going to happen. Life or death. Right? Now we see death. And then a turtle dove and a pigeon. Now, what does God do with them? Who killed them? He cut them up. Well, Abraham cut them all up. And he scares away vultures. So they would not consume the dead animals. Or dead birds. Now, what happened next? Now, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror. What was he afraid of? What he saw? Okay, what did he see? You saw what?
Darkness.
Okay. Horses. All right. No light there. Remember, later down, we find out what happened to the Egyptians? They were in darkness. Terror overwhelmed them. Some people have gone into some caverns down there in New Mexico or Arizona, I don't know what it is. And they go in there, and it's totally pitch dark. You can't see anything. How many have been in the military? Men. How many, have you ever gone in a place where the total darkness, you can't see anything? Yeah, you're there. Yeah. What? Did you enjoy it? No. You can't see anything. You can feel the darkness, and it will, if you prolong your time, it will terrify you. Yes.
Our son took a fire science class and they had to climb in the darkness and he said it was terrifying.
It's terrifying because you see nothing. Okay. So when you're in this great darkness, it's going to go terrorize you. And why did God put him in darkness for? What did God put him in Hoshek for?
What his people would be in the darkness of Egypt and bondage and terror.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere because what happened to the house of Israel? They were put into darkness in Egypt. Because now let's go on. Be not afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land not theirs, darkness in Hosheth, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. Darkness, Hosheth, that's what he saw. That's what Abraham saw when the vision was given to him. Yes.
Could it be, you've got 3-year-old heifer, you've got the female goat and the ram, and cut up, that is 6 pieces. This darkness that was going to fall on the people eventually the Messiah would come and rescue them. Is it possible that the turtle dove and or a young pigeon were a picture of the rescue that would happen on the seventh day? You've got six pieces, and then you've got a seven and an eight.
Oh, that's interesting. I never thought about that. I would look at it differently, but yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it. Never thought about that one. Okay. Verse 17. Now, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed through the pieces. The sun had gone down and it was just plain dark. And there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed through the pieces. Why was the burning torch passing through the pieces?
To purify.
That's a good one. I didn't think about that one. Any other? I possibly could see part of that, yes.
I think it indicates acceptance of the sacrifice.
This furnace.
Pardon?
What about the furnace?
I don't know about the furnace.
And the oven means a furnace. He saw a furnace.
Yeah.
Out of the furnace came a torch.
Yeah.
The furnace didn't go through, just a torch. What is furnace? The furnace is going to do things. What is the furnace going to do? It's going to burn everything in there that is impure. Right? Yes.
I thought that represented the divine presence, Yahweh.
The word of the Lord is like fire, yes.
And there's two things, because you can't make a covenant with one. It has to be at least two. That's why there was a torch
and
a
furnace. Well, okay, to a degree, but God did not say that. God makes a covenant now. He's making this covenant with Abraham. Abraham does not have to make the covenant in exchange.
Yeah, but he also says, I swear by myself.
Sorry, what?
I swear by myself because... Well, this is
okay,
we're here
at this particular place. I know what you're talking about, but we're right here at this particular place of Abram. At this point in time, Abram was not part of the deal. He didn't have to participate in anything except cut the things up. So the torch is going down through them. Did a torch burn anything up? David,
Well, the purpose for a torch is light. So you got burning to purify and light to light up the darkness. So it was light shining out in the darkness.
Light shining, oh shit, yes. So what did Abraham do? On the very same day, or the very same time period, it looked like the night time, it took place at night. Yahweh made a covenant with Abraham and saying, to your descendants, I will give this land from the river Euphrates and the great river, and the river to the great river, or river Egypt, rather, and the great river Euphrates. And of course, names off nine groups of people that are going to be wiped out or be given unto him. Now, as we write this in this chapter, What is it all about? Why was this torch going through these pieces? Remember, he saw what Abraham saw before all that happened, after he cut him up. What did he see? He saw a vulture. Yes.
Like the pillars of smoke and pillar of fire in front of the Israelites when they were rescued.
They went through fire. That's a good point. I didn't think about them either. You guys got a bunch of cool thoughts. Anyway, go ahead.
I forget.
It has to...
Yeah. What was your question? It had something to do with...
The vulture.
Oh, the vulture.
Remember he saw the vulture? Why? Was that really important? Or just a natural thing vultures do? And God didn't chase it away. Abram chased it away. Why didn't God just say, get out of here? No vultures. I made a deal. Get out of here, vulture. What was a vulture? What was a vulture going to do? Consume the dead animals. Consume death. Right? What is the big symbol of the Pharaohs? Of the Pharaohs, when they went to war, what did they wear on top of their head? A falcon, a falcon, to consume them. Now, did his Abram's descendants, did they survive? The falcon did not survive. Do you see the parallel? It's very important to know that this is a picture of a falcon that has to do with it. He says the ancient Egyptian religion had to do with the known of a falcon on top of their head, and using that as their symbol of power and might and also fear. It's a terrifying. I don't know what kind of bird it really was. They said it was a falcon. I don't know if it was a big one or a small one or whatever it was. But we have football. The falcons. Yeah, they got to find a really powerful name. And it's probably the only. I think it's the only bird that we have. Maybe there's another one. The eagle. Yeah, eagles are too. Yes.
I remember seeing it had the body of a man, but the head of a bird or falcon or Osiris, pagan.
Well, you mean in Egypt?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah. That's right. Because if the man was wearing the helmet of the falcon head. And they would not have made a little tiny falcon big enough for his head, you know. Like an eagle. Eagle could be a big bird. But it's a vulture. It's come down and it cleans up messes. Cleans up the dead.
Yeah.
Here, the fire did not burn anything. It went through them. Now, I don't know if it went from, if I assume, I could be completely wrong on this, the way the order is, it would have gone through where the heifer was, and then where the female goat was, and where the ram was, and then the two birds. That's why I assume he would have gone through that direction. I may be wrong, because it's worded that way. So, we have a question. I don't know if I cover it today. What does a heifer represent? What does the female goat represent? What does the ram represent? What does the birds represent? Okay, now we're getting somewhere. But there was something that had to happen. Now you've heard of, quote, the red heifer. Right? What was the object of the red heifer? Or anybody who touched a dead thing. Anybody who touched a dead thing, the red ash of the red heifer was put upon them. I find that fascinating. Now we won't go there today, but we have the book of Hebrews that explains, okay, that's the Messiah's dead body. His blood is mixed with ashes, and guess what? You are cleaned with his ashes. Okay. Now, next comes the female goat. What? What's a female goat represent? Oh, what does a goat represent? Period. Like a who?
Like a sheep.
It's like a sheep. All right.
The mountains,
no. A ram is the one that really climbs the mountain more than a goat. A ram is kind of an interesting animal all by itself. The ram represents what? Remember the ones caught in a thicket? Okay. Every holy day, there's at least one every time. It's always what? A ram. Aha. Now, when we... Right down there. just lost my train of thought. I saw him. I've been thinking about him for almost a month now. I haven't heard of him. Anyway, the goat. Now, we know it takes a female goat, male goat, for the Passover. But what does a goat represent?
A goat.
Huh?
What you could depend on. A scapegoat.
No, that was a male goat. That was a male goat. This particular goat was only one goat and cut in half. Well, tell you the honest truth. Okay, tell you the honest truth. I don't have a story. I was hoping you'd have the answer for me. Maybe you guys can help me look that one up. Because the female goat is kind of interesting to my mind, because it has to do with the reproduction of other goats. Or, in a sense, it also can be reproduction of sheep. But he didn't ask for sheep. I think because Abraham didn't have sheep. I think it's a goat herder rather than a sheep herder. I'm sorry, what? Bride? Cut in half? Huh? I don't have an answer to that. I was hoping that maybe you guys come up with something. No, what's your theory?
This is a long shot, but does that have anything to do with the whole thing where Yeshua talks about, you know, the goats will go that way and the sheep go that way, like wayward? I don't know, maybe not.
Well, yeah. Well, but the colt was cut in half. It was killed. Well, I'm not quite sure I got an answer to that one. I've done some research on it, but I haven't been able to nail it down yet. I have not satisfied with it. So sometimes I have answers, and sometimes I don't have answers. Most of the time I don't have answers. But anyway. Split in half, like the five virgins. Five this way, five that way. No. They still lived. This is something that has to do with the killing of something. My mind somehow, like the heifer, has to relate to the Messiah. The pigeons, what does pigeons represent? Noach's time. What is a pigeon? What is so interesting about a pigeon? A homing pigeon. How many birds will go home? When you train a pigeon, this is your home. What does a pigeon do? Comes back. That, how many birds do that? They say, well, I can do it with a hawk. Well, that depends upon whether or not you feed it right. If you don't feed it, it's going to take off. If you unhook the chain off that pigeon or off that hawk, do you think it's going to stay around? It's got to be bye-bye. Because his home is somewhere else. You put him in captivity, you put him in prison, you put him under chains and bonds. If he's ever released, he's gone. But a pigeon? It keeps coming back home. So, this is the reason why I'm saying he must have gone through the heifer, and he must have gone through the goat, and he'd gone through the ram, back home. Leading Israel home. Split? Yes. The descendants of Abraham were split. Divided in two.
Right.
And he's going to unite them. They're divided in two to such a point that they are good as dead. Ancient Israel, good as dead. Ancient Judah, good as dead. Even after, we're talking about after they became a nation. Dead. Ceased to be, ceased to exist. Neither of the nations ever existed again for a long time. One came back after 70 years. Came back home after 70 years. and remained alive. One is older, and the other pigeon is younger. Which one is which? Yes.
Well, I was just thinking about the generations, then. It would be maybe a mother and offspring of the dove.
Yeah, could be. Yes.
So the whole picture is that we'll be divided, but he'll bring us all home.
Bring us all home. That's the covenant he made. That's the agreement he made with Abram. Telling Abram, they're going to be back. They're going to be... He was terrified and horrified at what's going to take place. Frightened and scared and Hosheth. Because all of Israel, both northern Israel and southern Judah, were in Hosheth. They ceased to be. They're as good as death.
And the light went through. Didn't burn him. The light's going to bring them back together again. That make sense to you? That's my thinking. I could be wrong. I could be very, very wrong. But everything I see has to do with what Devarim says, what Devarim thinks, the actions of Devarim. And this particular incident, it wasn't the act of Abram. It was the act of Elohim. He did this. How? Now, I'll go back to that question that Abram asked before this all started. Sorry, what? Verse 8.
Oh, how shall I know that I will inherit this?
Okay, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you. I want you to take these animals, do exactly what I want you to do with them, and I'm gonna prove it to you. And he did. What was Abraham's thought afterwards? Well, we haven't gone in the 16th chapter yet to find out, have we? But I just want you to know, this is how I try to understand the picture God is doing. I want to understand why the action, and not with a lot of interpretations. A lot of people say, well, it was a custom in those days. Really? There's nothing written in secular history or even pagan history that did any of that stuff that God just did. God is the only one. No other being has ever done that. No other creature's done that. Only God has done that. So it's a message for us. It's in the beginning, in Bereshit, it tells you the conclusion of the entire plan of God before the holy days were in effect. We read in the Psalms, it uses the word appointed time. It doesn't refer to the holy days. First, the appointed time when God will come. It doesn't even mention the holy days. It just mentions the time when God will come and do what he said he's going to carry out. The 12th chapter of Ezekiel. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So, when someone says, I had a vision, I have a little bit of a question. If it's, I don't say that God not warned somebody, that's a different issue. But a vision is something I see clearly. Every one of the prophets, when the vision of God came, they saw it clearly. There was no question in their mind. They saw it and they wrote it. They saw it and they wrote it. They saw it and they wrote it. Because it wasn't theirs. It was Devarim Elohim. And they wrote it down. Every prophet there ever was saw visions, exception of Moses. So when someone told me that God gave me a vision, I don't challenge them. I don't question them. I don't say, you don't know what to talk about. I just think with inside myself is, were you terrified? Were you so scared to death you fell down? Were you so scared to death like Abram was so scared to death? He was terrified and afraid. Did God say to you, don't be afraid. I am your shield. And I am your reward. Don't be afraid. Was Abram afraid? The very first sentence in this chapter says, yes. Yes, he was.